So if there's someone you think you would like to ask and you want to be emboldened, come to Alpha. And you can talk about it and the next time. And that's for us, that's how that worked as well. Alpha is a great way to discover and grow in your faith. So please come and join us. This year, too, we're going to have a nursery available. So if that's been something that's holding you back, but for the nursery, we ask you, please let us know if you're coming, just so that we can get ready and get prepared for that. I don't think there's anything else. So yeah, you can talk to Karen or myself about that if you'd like to register. Let's begin praising our God, singing, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Good morning. Welcome again to the Assembly of God's People, and if you're worshiping with us today and you're visiting with us today, we especially want to welcome you. We have a special day. This morning we celebrate baptism, and we also celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Reminder to parents, we invite the children to come forward so that they can witness the baptism. So at that time, I'll invite the kids to come forward, and then they'll go back to their seats after that. And in regards to the Lord's Supper, if you're visiting with us today and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are a member of good standing in a Christian church, then you're invited to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. If you are not a practicing Christian in that sense, we ask that you not partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, but we pray that you receive a blessing as you witness God and his people fellowshipping together through the sacrament today. Our God calls us to worship from Psalm 66. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Satan and the kingdom of darkness cringes as together we worship our great God. Let's prepare our hearts to do exactly that in a moment of silent prayer. And then we conclude by singing, You Are Worthy. Let's pray together. Affirm our faith and we receive God's greeting, and we do that responsibly. Congregation, from where does our help come?
Our help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth.
The Lord be with you.
And the Lord be with you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Opening hymn of praise is hymn number 178 in your Psalter hymnal. It's also on the screen. What shall I render to the Lord? It's a Psalm 116 put to music. Let's remain standing. Let's sing all the five stanzas. What shall I render?
Thank you.
Today we are privileged to witness baptism. Baptism brings to mind a number of different themes, reminders from the scriptures, and all of this is explained as well in page 957 in your form in the back of your Psalter hymnal. Baptism reminds us, first of all, that we are sinners, that we have broken God's law, and that we deserve his judgment. In fact, we cannot be saved unless we are born again. Baptism reminds us that we need cleansing. This is how the baptism form actually says it. Baptism, whether by immersion or sprinkling, teaches that sin has made us so impure that we must undergo a cleansing which only God can accomplish. And therefore, we ought to be displeased with ourselves, humble ourselves, and turn to God for our salvation. With that in mind, let's come to our God in a prayer of confession. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess to you and before one another that we have sinned greatly in thought, in our words, in our deeds. We have offended your holiness. We have failed to love our neighbor. We have followed the devices of our own hearts and have spurned the promptings of your spirit. Through our own faults, we have deserved your judgment. O Lord, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our God saves in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing of that. What the Lord has done for me. Let's remain seated as we sing the three stanzas of this hymn of praise.
Thank you.
Baptism reminds us that we are sinners who need cleansing, but more, baptism is a reminder of the promises of the gospel. God saves, God washes, God cleanses by grace through faith. Baptism reminds us of these things. That's why we are baptized into the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the form says, our baptism into the name of God the Father is his assurance to us that he makes an everlasting covenant of grace with us and adopts us as his children and heirs. And therefore, he surrounds us with his goodness and protects us from evil or turns it to our profit. When we are baptized in the name of the Son, we are assured by Christ himself that he washes us in his blood from our sins. Christ joins us to himself so that we share in his death and resurrection. And through this union with Christ, we are liberated from our sins and regarded as righteous before God. Baptism into the name of the Holy Spirit is the assurance that the Spirit of God will make his home within us. And while living within us, the Spirit will continually work to strengthen and deepen our union with Christ. He will make real in our lives Christ's work of washing away our sins. He will also help us each day to live the new life we have in Christ. And as a result of his work within us, we shall one day be presented without the stain of sin among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Now, of course, we have to respond to these promises. That's why we add, not only does baptism remind us of our need for cleansing, and not only does it proclaim the gospel promises, it also calls us to new obedience. God does his part in the covenant, but we must also do ours. We must repent, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must walk in love. As the form for baptism also says, we must cling to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We must trust and love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We must abandon the sinful way of life, put to death our old nature, and show by our lives that we belong to God. And if we through weakness should fall into sin, we must not despair of God's grace, nor use our weakness as an excuse to keep sinning. Baptism as a seal and totally reliable witness that God is always faithful to his covenant. That our children may grow in these things, that's why we baptize them as well. Our children share in Adam's condemnation, but they also share in God's favor in Christ. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, households of believers receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. Jesus embraced such children and blessed them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, that our children are set apart and they're holy. This means we are obligated to teach our children that they too, as covenant members, must repent from their sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk in new obedience. With that, let's come to our God and ask for a blessing upon the baptism this morning. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will not destroy us in our sin like Pharaoh, but save us like you saved Noah and the people of Israel. We thank you for the covenant promises pictured, proclaimed in the waters of baptism. Keep even this little one scarlet in the palm of your hand. Give us all firm faith, hope, and love. Bless your people. Bless your spirit. Bless us by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alex and Jody, I invite you to stand at this time so you may answer the question before God and his people that you are testifying that you know about God's grace and you want to raise scarlet in the fear of the Lord. Three questions. First, do you acknowledge that our children who are sinful from the time of conception and birth and therefore subject to the misery which sin brings, even the condemnation of God, are made holy by God in Christ and so as members of his body ought to be baptized? Second, do you acknowledge that the teaching of the Old and New Testament summarized in the Apostles' Creed and taught in this Christian church is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And third, do you sincerely promise to do all you can to teach Scarlett and to have her taught this doctrine of salvation? Alex and Jody, what is your answer? And then there's also a question for the congregation. If this question is appropriate for you, you may respond by saying, "We do, God helping us." Do you, the congregation, the people of the Lord, promise to receive this little child in love, pray for her, help instruct her in the faith, and encourage and sustain her in the fellowship of believers, congregation? What is your answer?
We do, God helping us.
Jody and Alex, you may bring Scarlett forward for baptism and invite the children to come forward as well so that we can witness it close up. Come on forward. You just stand right over here there, Josh. Yeah. Okay, you stand over here, Josh. Stand right over here. There you go. Can you see, boys and girls? You got to see. You got to see the water, yeah? Even you guys over there? Come on a little closer. Come and see. See the water in there? Ooh, it's nice and warm. Oh, there we go. So this morning, boys and girls, we're going to apply baptism. And you see that Scarlett, she's not going to do anything. Scarlett's just going to sit there. And so she's just going to receive it, and it's a gift of God. Yep, God is going to put water on her head through Pastor Ken. And God's going to say that this little child belongs to the Lord. It's an important sign, because this water reminds us that just as this water can wash your dirty hands, so does Christ, by his Holy Spirit, wash away all of our sins. So you need to think about that as I put the water on Scarlett's head, okay? Watch. Scarlett Joy Moback, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, we're going to sing at this time what the Lord has done. No, we're going to sing by faith. That's what we're going to sing right now, by faith. We're going to invite the congregation to stand as well. And boys and girls, you may quietly go back to your seats. Okay, go back to your seats. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
It's a great day for you, Alex and Jody. God has blessed you with a very beautiful daughter. She is a cutie. Martin, maybe you can put the picture up on the screen. Look at that. There she is. And today, God has given an extra blessing by giving the sign of his covenant love. It's the wedding ring that God gives to you and to Scarlett. God is faithful. He continues his faithfulness through the generations. Actually, there are a number of celebrations that your family is celebrating today. Scarlett's grandparents, Jerry and Pauline Moback, celebrating 35 years of marriage. Congratulations. And I understand that Scarlett's great-grandmother, Nisha DeBoer, celebrating a birthday today. I asked Scarlett how old she was, and she said, over 50. So, well, congratulations to you as well. Okay. God's covenant faithfulness continues as we also do our part. And to help you do your part in raising this little one in the fear of the Lord, we have a Bible for you. So I invite you to read this Bible daily with Scarlett as she gets older. And we pray that that Scarlett may know God's faithfulness too, right here in her heart, as you raise Scarlett in the fear of the Lord. Congratulations. Let's come to our God in a congregational prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, it's good to gather. It's good to gather with our families, with our loved ones, with our friends. It's good to gather as the church of Jesus Christ, as your body, the bride of Christ. To think that Jesus Christ is married to us as people. And you are so faithful. You're faithful. Even in our very broken world, we see it. You uphold the world in spite of our sin, in spite of the brokenness that's out there, in spite of the misery that's in the world today. You provide. You uphold your creation. And we see your faithfulness even more in Jesus Christ and your covenant faithfulness to the generations. And so we pray, Father, for baptism as it was applied today. We pray, Father, for Scarlett Joy Moback. We pray to gracious God that this little girl may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ also in her heart, so what's applied in the outside may be applied in the inside. We pray for the parents, for Alex and for Jody, as they do their part in this covenant way of raising Scarlett in the fear of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for blessings, for Nisha DeBoer as she celebrates her birthday, and Jerry and Pauline as they celebrate the 35th wedding anniversary. We see your covenant faithfulness. And so, Father, we see your covenant faithfulness in baptism, but also in your word, as we hear it this morning, but also as we hear it again tonight. So we pray that you will bless this means of grace as you touch our hearts by your covenant love. And Father, we not only see your covenant faithfulness in baptism and in your word, but also in the Lord's Supper this morning. So we pray, Father, that in all of these things, we may see Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. It's all about him. We're sinners, but you sent your son, Jesus Christ, and we're saved through him. And so we have the opportunity, the blessed opportunity to serve him. Yes, we fall down. But in baptism, you remind us again that you pick us up. And it's in communion that you nourish us, you refresh us, so that we can follow in your way even more by your grace. Father, you bless us in countless ways. We thank you for summertime. We thank you for camping. We thank you that Marianne and I could get away for a little while and be with our loved ones and family. We could do some camping, and now we're back again. We pray, Father, that you will bless our time back. We pray, Father, for birthdays that we celebrate. We think of Estelle Joubert and Jerry Verway as they celebrate birthdays along with other people in our church community. Father, we pray for Kelsey Mantle and Josh Miedema as they exchange marriage vows next Saturday. We pray that you bless this couple, that their home, that their married life may be based on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those who are under doctor's care. We thank you that Luther Andre was able to have his hip replacement surgery and that he could come home from the hospital already and that he's doing remarkably well. We pray for your continued healing hand. Father, we pray for our ministries. We pray for consistory as it meets on Wednesday night. We pray, Father, for Alpha as it's starting up soon enough as we make plans for that. We pray that you bless these things. And the mission trip as well. For the Samaritan Foundation, we pray that you bless these things so that we may promote your kingdom all over the world. Father, we pray for classes as it meets this coming Friday evening for the examination of Hayden Regeling. We pray, Father, that you bless classes as it examines this candidate for the ministry. We pray that all things may go well so that this gentleman may be a minister of the word to proclaim your gospel as well. We pray for other kinds of ministries, parachurch, ministries in your community. So we pray for City Kids. We thank you for all the volunteers and all the people who are involved in that special ministry. Father, we pray for the world in which we are a part. There's all kinds of things that cause us concern. We think of the forest fires, which sometimes cause so much smoke that there's blackness in the middle of the day. We pray that you would bring new rain and stop the fires. We pray, Father, for the families of Constables Rob Costello and Sarah Brown as these families mourn the loss of these individuals. We pray, Father, for the funeral commemorations. We pray, Father, for these families in Fredericton. Father, we pray for the leaders of our countries. We pray for Justin Trudeau, our Prime Minister. We pray for Donald Trump. We pray for Putin as well. We pray, Father, for other leaders, all those who have authority over us. And we pray, Father, for the spread of your kingdom through mission, through your church. And so we pray, Father, for our offerings today for Kathy Vanderkloot in Nigeria. We pray that you bless her ministry there. And we pray, Father, for Resonant Global Mission. We thank you, Father, for this ministry. We pray that you expand this cause also for the service of your kingdom. So hear our prayer. Bless the preaching of your word this morning. May your name be praised. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We now have an opportunity to give of our offerings to our God. There is two offerings this morning at this time. First, for the general fund of Calvin Christian Reformed Church. And second offering is for our missionary, Kathy Vanderkloot, who work in Nigeria. Let's give our gifts of thanksgiving to our God. Thank you, Kathy and Emily, for your playing this morning. And Peter is well behind me there as he leads us in our singing, and Kathy as well. We're going to sing Holy Spirit, Mighty God, hymn number 278. Let's stand together as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word this morning. During the hymn, children ages 3 to 4 may be excused for their Sunday school class. Let's stand together as we sing. Reading for this morning is from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4. Text for this morning is verses 19 to 24, and that's what I'm going to read this morning as well. But all this is in context of all of chapter 4, so maybe when you get home later on today, maybe you want to read all of chapter 4 of Joshua 1 to 24. But right for now, we're going to be reading verses 19 to 24, page 336 in your Pew Bible. I'll read the passage. I'll say this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. Starting at verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal, in the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Your congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this story in our text is a story about stones. 12 stones in particular. God wanted these stones placed at Gilgal in the Promised Land as a permanent memorial and reminder of his grace. That's what this story is all about. I know what it's like to carry stones. I've done my fair share of it when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we lived on a farm, and every spring, Dad would hook up the wagon to the tractor, and our whole family would head off to the field, and we would spend a whole day, so it seemed, picking up rocks. Some rocks were very big, needed a crowbar to get them out of the ground, and others were smaller. We picked up those rocks that could fill your hand. We'd pick up all these rocks, put them on the wagon, and once the wagon was full, we would go to the river edge, and there we would unload it one by one. I tell you, those stones are still there to this day. They don't move. I suspect that's why God wanted these stones in our text as a memorial. Rocks generally don't move too much. They make for an excellent, permanent memorial. Let's look at the context of our biblical story. Our story takes place in the book of Joshua. Joshua, if you recall, tells the story of Israel finally entering into the promised land of Canaan. The story actually begins in the book of Exodus. In Exodus, Israel is in slavery, right, to Pharaoh. They are in horrible, horrible slavery. They are beaten and they are oppressed. And so they cry out to God for help, and God hears them. He hurls upon the Egyptians the 10 plagues, and finally Pharaoh lets them go. The people leave Egypt, but only to find the Red Sea. But God goes ahead of them, and he divides the water so that the people might cross over on dry ground. That's what they do. God delivers his people by his grace. He leads them on towards the promised land. Praise his name. The people, however, are not exactly thankful on the other side of the Red Sea. On this side of the Red Sea now, they live in sin. They bicker, they complain, they fight as they journey on towards the promised land until God finally has enough. He will not be mocked, and so he judges them. For 40 years, they are forced to live in the wilderness outside of the promised land of Canaan. In the book of Joshua, however, things are beginning to pick up again. The 40 years are now over, and so God is ready to move his people forward. In Joshua chapter 3, the Israelites meet at the Jordan River. It's the boundary to the promised land. God is ready to move them in. But there's a problem. The water in the Jordan is too high. It's at flood stage at this time. There's no way for them to cross. And so for 3 days, the Israelites camp at the Jordan River to observe the raging waters. But it's here that God does an amazing thing again. Similar to what he did at the Red Sea, God parts the waters of the Jordan River. What he does is he stops the water way upstream. He stops it so that the people might cross over again on dry ground. It's living proof that God is working miraculously again, like he did outside of Egypt. Noteworthy what else God does here while the Israelites cross over into the promised land through the Jordan. While Israel crosses over through the Jordan, the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence among the people, it stops in the middle of the Jordan. The priests, they keep it there in the Jordan while the Israelites cross by. This is striking. It's meant to encourage the people. God was basically saying, don't worry, Israel. Cross over. Keep going. Don't worry about the water up there, because if that water comes down and sweeps over you, it's going to sweep over me as well. And that's not going to happen. I would rather die than not bring you into the promised land. And so the Israelites, they cross over into the promised land. They cross over completely by God's grace. God brings them through into the promised land. And so once they are through, Joshua gives the order. He commands that a person from each of the 12 tribes of Israel pick up a rock from the very middle of the Jordan and bring it to Gilgal in the promised land and set them up as a permanent memorial. Joshua explains the purpose of it all in chapter 4, verse 21 in our text. Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. the Lord your God did to the Jordan, just at what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and that you might always fear the Lord your God. That's the purpose of those rocks in our text. Congregation, why do I talk about this today? And why this text today? Well, it has everything to do with what we witnessed really this morning. What we witnessed this morning is baptism. Baptism, if you care to know, is something of a memorial. It too is a sign. It's something that tells a message just like those rocks in Joshua chapter 4. Now, it's obvious that the rocks in Joshua 4 and baptism today are quite different. That hardly needs mentioning. The rocks, well, they're hard and they're big and they're heavy. And baptism, that's just water. What can be similar about these two things? But you know, they're similar at least in this way. They both provide opportunities to tell the next generation, in fact, the whole world, of God's grace. The rocks were certainly used for that, but baptism is used for this as well. Today, when our children ask, what is the meaning of this sign? Why do we use water like this? Why do we baptize? You know what we say? We say this. You know, children, spiritually, we were once in the wilderness. We were once in the desert wilderness of sin because of our sin, our disobedience, our refusal to recognize God, to thank him and to love him. But now we've entered the promised land. We enjoyed the kingdom of our God, where we experience his shalom. We experience his love, his presence, his grace, eternal life. And not that we entered this eternal life on our own strength. No, sir. For what separated us in the desert of sin from the promised land was a chasm, a river. It was impossible for us to cross. We couldn't swim across it. We couldn't ride a boat across it, build a bridge over it. But you see, God, in his grace, he took us across. He sent his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus went into the raging waters of death and destruction. Jesus, who is the very presence of God, he went into the Jordan ahead of us. You understand that he would rather die than not lead us into the promised land. Actually, he did die. He went to the cross. He died and rose to pay for all sin so that we might enter the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and the promised land of eternal life. And so that's why we baptize. We need a memorial for this. Baptism is our memorial, our reminder, our sign telling us that the only reason we enjoy the promised land of God's kingdom is because he brought us there. He brought us through the waters by his grace. And so we need to talk about these things. We need to celebrate these things. We don't want the next generation to forget. And so in that sense, the rocks of Joshua chapter 4 and baptism today are the same. As the rocks were used to tell the next generation about God's grace, so is baptism. Now, you wonder, though, if God should have used a more permanent sign for us today. I mean, the memorial in Joshua chapter 4, it's rather permanent. It's made out of rocks. It's heavy, it's hard, like those rocks on my family farm. They don't move. The waters of baptism today, there's no permanence, so to speak. They don't leave any kind of mark. This morning I put some water on baby Scarlet, but now it's all dried up. It's all gone. You know, in the Old Testament, when people received their own personal sign of the covenant through circumcision, at least it left a permanent mark. Baptism doesn't work like that today. There's no permanent mark. Maybe I should have given Scarlett a rock, maybe this morning, to help you, Alex and Jody, to help her, to remind her of God's amazing grace. So why no permanent, concrete, more noticeable sign of God's grace? You know why? Because what God ultimately wants instead is for us to be the permanent, concrete, more noticeable sign of God's grace. He wants us to be the sign. God wants us to be so permanently changed on the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit that that people out there will take notice. So that they ask, why are these people over here so different? Why are they the way that they are? They take notice, and then you use that as an opportunity to say, you know, I was once lost in the desert of sin, but God, by His grace, has brought me into the promised land of His kingdom through Christ. And so I walk with Him now. And He walks with me. And I serve my God. And I obey my God. And I love my God. He is my God. You follow? God doesn't want permanent rocks to be the sign of God's grace anymore. He wants you to be the permanent sign of God's grace. All of this makes me think of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Maybe you recall that story. A week before Jesus is crucified, the people, a whole crowd of disciples, follow Jesus into Jerusalem singing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the people, they saw him as the Messiah, the great king, the one who will deliver God's grace. And so they sang. They sang of it. The Pharisees, of course, wanted no part of this. They wanted this to stop. And so they confronted Jesus and said, Teacher, tell your disciples to stop this. Rebuke your disciples. And how did Jesus respond? Luke 19, verse 40 records, Jesus saying, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Wow. Congregation, here's the point. If we don't testify to the grace of God, if we don't sing of His grace, if we don't speak, then the rocks will. Not that He wants the rocks to do it. He wants you and I to do it. Those rocks in Joshua chapter 4, they are fulfilled in us. We are now those rocks. We are to be living memorials. We need to be a living testimony of God's grace. This places a big responsibility on you, Alex and Jody. God has blessed you. God has richly blessed you. He's answered your prayers. By His grace, God has brought you into the promised land. You're one of those rocks. So don't forget to tell Scarlett about it. Tell her with your words about Jesus. Tell her what God has done for you, what God has done to save you. May she also become a living rock. May she learn to love Jesus. May she sing about Jesus. And may it be that the whole world will take notice. That's the purpose. That's the final goal, you understand. We want the whole world to know what God has done. That's the purpose of the rocks, even in Joshua chapter 4. God saved His people. Why? Joshua 4, verse 24. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Let's all be living stones, and let's tell the next generation. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we become living stones. Permanent reminders, symbols, pictures, realities of your grace. We pray, Father, for the person who might not know this grace even today. We pray, Father, that you will work through the word preached today to change that person's heart so that we might taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. And he takes us out of the misery and the mire of sin and brokenness and leads us into the promised land that we can experience already now by your grace. Father, may we tell the next generation. May we be bold to tell our children, and not only our children, but the whole world, that our God saves. Hear our prayer. Bless us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hymn in response, hymn number 588, Tell Your Children. Let's stand together as we sing all three stanzas. Tell Your Children, hymn number 588. Privileged now to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Through the sacrament, we are reminded of God's great covenant love for us to help us grow even more in our faith, all so that we might give him all of the glory. Communion was instituted long ago. This is what the Apostle Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Communion is very much a covenant meal. It's about God's covenant marriage relationship with us. In baptism, we are officially marked with the covenant of grace. That's why it happens only once. In communion, we are officially confirmed in the covenant of grace. Here we are nurtured, nourished, assured, so that we become better living stones, stones that sing and testify to God's grace. And all of this happens when we focus, when we remember, and we believe in Jesus Christ and take him in by faith. A number of themes in communion. In communion, we look back to remember Christ's body and his shed blood given for us. In communion, we look up to be united to Christ. That's where he reigns. We also look around to one another, for we become one body. And we also look forward. This meal is a foreshadow of the great kingdom celebration we will enjoy when he comes again. We celebrate communion so that we may become better living stones, stones that testify to God's grace. Singing the Apostles' Creed is one small way we also testify to God's saving grace. Let's do that. I believe in God the Father. Let's stand together as we sing, and afterwards the elders and the deacons may come forward so that we may administer the sacrament. Let's stand as we sing. Jesus invites us to partake of the elements of the table. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We celebrate. The bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, believe that the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for a complete remission of all of our sins. The cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks is a communion of the blood of Christ.
Thank you.
Take, drink, remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for a complete remission of all of our sins. And so we praise him for his grace. We thank him. We testify. We sing it out. We're not dead stones. We're living stones. And so lift up your hearts unto the Lord is the hymn that we sing, hymn number 309 in your Psalter hymnal. We'll remain seated as we sing. And while we sing, we have an offering of thanksgiving for benevolence this morning. Let us give our praise in Christ Jesus. Please join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that today, this morning, we could witness baptism. We see your covenant sign, your faithfulness. We thank you that this morning we could celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper so that we may be nourished, so that we may be living stones. So we pray, Father, that we may continue to testify of your goodness and of your grace, not only in this hour and not only on this day, but the rest of our lives. Hear our prayer and bless us to that end. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for the benediction. After the benediction, we sing as our doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And then after that, you are invited to come for join us for coffee and refreshments. If you'd like to congratulate the Alex and Jody, we're going to be coming somehow through this aisle and coming out through that door, so to speak. So this aisle, we come down and make our way out through that way, bring some order to this big congregation that we have here this morning. Lift up your hearts to the Lord and receive the Lord's parting blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.